The following podcast is taken from my video blog, which you can find under the same name and the Recruitment Podcast channel on YouTube. Hi, welcome to another one of my podcasts, or if you're watching it, a video podcast. Today, I want to talk about, so you want to build a recruitment business to sell. As I'm sure you're aware, what Davis Gray do is we back recruitment consultants to build their own businesses. So I speak to a lot of people who want to build their own businesses, and one of the most common subjects is I want to build a business to sell. So when somebody says that to me, the first question I ask is why? And the answer tend to be I want to be rich, or worse to that effect. But you may find this surprise, as I've built three businesses for the ground up and sold them, I don't actually advocate selling businesses. Bit ironic, isn't it? Well, the businesses I sold out of, I didn't sell out of to become rich. I sold out of because I just wanted a change in life, and I'd got a bit fed up with running a business. So I decided to sell out. I've covered part of the reasons in my mental health blog, but I won't go over that now. But yeah, I don't actually advocate selling recruitment businesses, because if you're going to sell a recruitment business, to get decent value, you've got to have had a succession plan set up so you don't have to be there. So if you don't have to be there, and the business is making a profit, because it's got to, otherwise you can't sell it, and it's not going to fall apart, otherwise, you know, nobody's going to buy it. So in other words, you know, the staff aren't going to leave en masse, and you've got a strong management team, you haven't got all your eggs in one basket, all the things that you need to sell the business, then why would you sell it? Because a perm business, you're probably going to get 4 times profit. Contract business, maybe 8 times profit. But quite often in that, unless you've got a really, really good succession plan, you're probably going to have to do an earnout. And what that basically means is for a period of maybe 2 or 3 years, you've got to stay in the business for the transition with the new owners, which can be a nightmare, because you're used to being your own boss and then you're beholden to somebody else. Also, the fee that you agree with the would-be buyers is quite often tied into your projections that you sold the business on. So, for example, if it's making £1 million profit, you do projections it's going to make £1.5 or £2 million profit in 3 years' time if it goes according to plan. So the offer will be based on you hitting target. If you don't hit target, you don't get as much. So it can be a nightmare. So I was fortunate enough that when I sold that, I'd done my succession plan. I literally signed up and walked out the door. But if you do that, you're not necessarily going to get the same value that you would from a would-be buyer, because they want that surety that when they take over the business, that it won't fall apart. And when I say it won't fall apart, because a major part of any recruitment business is the staff. If the staff leave en masse, then, okay, you're going to struggle, aren't you? So the bigger the business, the easier it is, because if it's a big business, not everybody's going to leave. Smaller business people will leave. But a would-be buyer needs to know it's not going to fall apart. So, you know, people aren't going to leave en masse. So, yeah, going back to, you know, if the business is resilient, but you're only going to get 4 times profit or 8 times profit, why don't you just tie in the people that are really important to the business, and then you can go and live in your vineyard in France or wherever it might be, and then you're going to be rich. But also, unless you've got an issue with spending loads of money, if you're going to sell a business, it's got to be making good profit. Now, what I mean by good profit is, if you're looking to sell a business that's maybe less than 10 staff, you're going to struggle, because it's not as easy as selling a business isn't as easy as people think. It's not like selling a car or a house. You know, you've got to find somebody who wants to buy the business. So it's got to be attractive. I've been through the sales process with two of the businesses. Another one was just a speculative buyer that came and offered the money. And it's not quite what you think. It's not as simple as you think. If you've got a very big business and it's, you know, it's, I'll say 100 plus staff, then it's a bit easier to sell. But the smaller the business, the more you're looking for the right buyer. So it's not quite as easy as you think. So you know, you're really looking at having at least 20, 30 staff before you can sell it. And with that, you're looking at, you're probably going to be £1 million profit at least. So if you're making £1 million a year profit, you're not going to be skint, are you? So you've clearly got quite a bit of money, or you should do, unless you've got a spending problem. So, you know, selling the business to become rich, you should be wealthy by that point, which is why when I sold out, I took less than the share was worth, because quite frankly, at that point, I felt as though I was wealthy enough. You know, I didn't necessarily want a jet or a private yacht or anything like that. You know, I was quite happy. So the reason for wanting to sell a business, I think, is more romantic. In a lot of people's minds, it's more romantic. Or it can be, it's an achievement thing. I understand that you want to build a business to sell and sell it so you've achieved that. So I'm not decrying people that sold the businesses, because lots of people sell businesses for different reasons, and this is just my opinion. But personally, I don't necessarily advocate selling businesses. However, what I do advocate is growing your business as if you're going to sell it. Now, the reason for that is a would-be buyer is going to look for things within your business that you want in your business. I mean, this is the blueprint we use at Davidson Gray, the businesses that we grow, is we grow them with a exit or event or sale in mind, but without actually thinking we're going to sell. And when I say we, the business owner, because I'm a minority shareholder, so you know it's their decision if they sell. But obviously, it's in their interest to use my experience in how to build high worth businesses. So we put in the constituents that a would-be buyer want to see. And going back to what I just said, it's those bits of what you want in a business. So it's like a strong brand. That is what you need. You need recurring revenue. So contract is good. If you've got loyal clients, that's good. If you've got strong marketing, that's good. If you also need low staff attrition. You need to have a spread of business, not lots of business with one client. You need a very good database. You need a strong management team. It can't be reliant on you. I don't know if I mentioned low staff attrition. If I haven't, low staff attrition. So there's lots and lots of things that a would-be buyer will want in your business. So if you're good enough to get those in your business, you then don't want to sell the business. So that's what we do. Now, that is, for me, the smart move is you build your business with an event in mind. So that gives you a number of benefits. If somebody comes along and offers you some money for a business, you're going to get more for it because it's built better. If you want to sell it, as I did, I just wanted to sell, you're going to get more for it. It's going to be a more resilient business because it's built better. It should make more profit as well. And it's also going to be easier to run. Because if you build a business that have got the constituents in it that will be buyer wants, like good database, slow staff attrition, great culture, great branding, great marketing, strong management team, all that kind of stuff, it becomes a very easy business to run. And I don't know, I've never worked in the corporate world within recruitment. I've worked in the corporate world prior to getting into recruitment. And anybody that's worked in the corporate world will know, or we'll probably have seen, it's a bit unfair, probably have seen some people who are a little bit shit, but they've got good jobs because they've played well at politics. Because once you get to higher up the food chain, it actually becomes easier, which I know sounds a bit weird, but you know, as a recruitment consultant, you're judged on what you do and you have to manufacture business every day. You know, you've got to produce that cash. But if you are a part of a very well-run business, it's very easy to do it easily. So I got to the point with my business. There was two business executive headhunters and Elliot Marsh. I was day-to-day managing director of Elliot Marsh. And I got to the point where I didn't need to be there. And oddly enough, I didn't like that because I was bored. But if you get your business to the point where it's run really well with the constituents that a would-be buyer would want, it actually becomes incredibly easy to run. So the bigger the business, the more successful it is, the easier it is to run, unless you've got a very aggressive growth structure, or you've added risk into the business. And there's various things that can add risk into the business. One of the things that I have always been wary of, because I've seen it, the downside of other businesses, is going multi-branch. Because if you've got a great business, a great business culture, if you then want to reproduce that somewhere else, you've kind of got to transplant yourself and transplant that, and you're almost building a business all over again. It can be done, obviously. Lots of businesses do it, but it's a lot higher risk. And when I was at Cranfield University and I was studying business models, I was looking at risk factors. And the bigger your business, the lower the percentage profit tends to be. And that means the bigger the business, there's more room for it going wrong. But also perversely, the bigger the business, the more resilient it is because it's got critical mass. So I looked at the various things that affect the risk factor in businesses. And one of the things that I personally didn't like is multi-branch, because it proves a lot harder. Now, with Executive Headhunters, which was the sister business, we did set up an office in London because we're an executive search business, so having an office in London we felt was important. And we tried it a couple of times and it just didn't work. And we could have persisted with it, could have made it work. But with the transport system, with video conferencing, all that kind of thing, it just became a lot more sensible to carry on growing the business where we were than try and build another branch somewhere else. So when you're looking to build your business to sell, I think what you've got to bear in mind is ultimately what you really want. And this is why I asked there would be business builders who want to speak to me about growing a business to sell, is what do you want to build it to sell for? Now, the answer that somebody would give me at that point will be a completely different answer probably in a few years' time, because as you evolve as a business owner, as you grow as a business owner, as you change as a person, as the business grows and you get people in it, it'd be highly likely your motivation, the targets you set, the challenges you set, the reason you do it will change. Initially, when I ran my first business, the reason I did it is I just wanted to be my own boss. Simple as that. I just didn't want to have a boss. I loved the idea, the excitement of growing my own business, and I wanted to earn lots of cash. It was as basic as that. But as the business started to grow, my motivations changed. When I was at Cranfield in 2005, there was a module within the course, and it looked on what your motivation actually was for growing the business. So there's this very sophisticated questionnaire type system, and the results that popped out as to really what your motivators were. And at the time, I've got to be honest, I thought it was flash cars, living the high life, having lots of money, all the kind of basic stuff, very laddie basic stuff. But it turned out my motivation was leaving something I could be proud of, growing people and developing a brand that I really valued, which was great because it showed I wasn't quite a shallow person, but it showed that my motivations were at that point. But then fast forward to the point where I was getting to the sale point, my motivations had changed because I'd felt as though I achieved everything I wanted to achieve. I got a business I didn't need to be in anymore. I've made a significant amount of cash. The next step for me was just making it bigger and more money. And it just didn't turn me on anymore. The motivation I got then was something called self-actualization, which basically means I wanted to be the best version of me I could possibly be. So I wanted to become as highly skilled as I could in my career, but also balance it appropriately with enjoying life outside work. So my motivations have changed completely. But if you'd asked me when I was 30, because that's when I set my first business, where I'd want to be in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, or 14 years' time, which is when I sold it, there's absolutely no chance I'd have known that, because you just don't know. And also, it depends a lot on, quite frankly, luck. Because one of the biggest factors in the growth of a successful business is getting the right hires and taking the right opportunities at the right time. And it's finding the right people to work with you and grow your business. And that will most likely shape how you want to grow the business, because it could be easier, it could be more fun. There's lots of different reasons it'll change your outlook on the business. And also there'll be external factors. You know, you may be single when you set up your business. You may be married, you may get divorced, you know, kids, whatever it might be. There'll be all these things that change. But going back to my original point about building a business to sell, it's still the right thing to do, is build the business as if you're going to sell it, because then you build a better business. And it's as simple as that. And that's the blueprint that I use. Now, I don't use a blueprint to help the businesses to sell that make another Elliot Marsh, for example, or another executive headhunters. What I do is I work with the business owners in their sector to build it in their sectors with a cultural framework that they want with their personalities. And I'm there to coach and mentor and help them grow it the way they want to grow it. So it wouldn't be the same for me if I just built, you know, 10 other businesses exactly like the business I'd already built. It's more enjoyable for me building a business the way that my business partners want to grow it. So it's built in their ideals. So, you know, they're all built in different ways. But hopefully, well, I know it for a fact, is they it's a lot easier for them to grow it. It's a lot less stressful. The ambitions change because we're putting such a great foundation. If you build a great foundation, it makes it so much easier. Now, you don't have bungalow foundations if you want to build a skyscraper. So, you know, at the beginning, you've got to always be thinking of doing today where you want to be tomorrow. Build the business today what you want it to be tomorrow, because retrofitting certain aspects of growing a business can be very, very difficult. You know, for example, if your staff don't use your database properly and they're not skill attributing the candidates properly, retrofitting is really hard work. Brand building takes an awful long time. I think it was a blog or a podcast, excuse me, I forget, about the importance of getting culture right in your business from the get-go, because it's very difficult to change culture. So that's why you need to get it in early and decide what you want in the culture of your business. And your culture will change as the business grows, but you've got to keep an eye on it. So there's all these things you've got to bear in mind when you're growing your business. But ultimately, it comes back to trying to think ahead and trying to instill and put the framework in your business as if you're going to sell it. And then it just makes not only building the business easy, it makes the growth far, far easier. And then if you do get super ambitious, because you've got the framework right, because you've got the foundations right, it then makes it so much easier. So anyway, I do try and keep these podcasts short. We're at 15 minutes now, so I'll call it a day there. But it was just on the subject of building a business to sell, because it's a very common question to get asked. And it's also, quite frankly, misunderstood. So I hope you enjoyed this insight into growing a business to sell. As per usual, if you liked it, leave the positive comments on YouTube, Spotify, follow the YouTube page, all that kind of thing. And if you do want the latest blogs and podcast and vlogs sent directly to you, send your email address and we'll put you on the mailing list. We don't do spam. We all hate spam, so we won't be doing that. Thanks for listening. I look forward to you listening to more of me talking about business and growing companies.